Ephesians chapter 6. Good as each one of you here today, and I'm more happy to be here than myself. I want to go to God's Word first, and certainly again this, what has become a most familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to begin where we often do, but then skip down to the latter part of this passage and look at a few verses there as well. So Ephesians 6, beginning with 10, and then jumping down to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And we'll stop right there. It's interesting, these last couple of verses, I think there's at least four P's there. Prayer, petition, perseverance, and proclamation. Well, that kind of started out as the outline, but it's been one of those weeks that a lot of outlines have come and gone in my head, but when it came time to sit down with a blank piece of paper, we moved on. Well, anyway, our series has been these last months, Got Your Armor On. That's been the series, And the call, a reminder, is to resist, to stand firm, or to stand strong, or to stand tall, or to stand up, or as I've heard so often through all of my life, in the physical realm, but I use it in the spiritual realm, don't slouch. Don't slouch. Be one that can be counted on, that can be seen. It's not ashamed, it's not afraid, that has some spiritual spunk in your life. Let me back up a minute to my first page of notes. And that's to thank a whole bunch of people, again. And many of you know who you are, and from the first row all the way back to the corner back there. And I just want to say one thing, and that is, I got a couple more things, but about the wedding yesterday. The choice for me was there or here. And as much as I wanted to be there, Misha and I prayed for all those involved, and I know there were several, and for this couple right here. And I know that Fred and his wife haven't been feeling well. Fred Thompson, who officiated yesterday. But I just had such a good report. And the bottom line of it all was, our Lord Jesus Christ was honored and proclaimed.
Amen.
And this young couple was pleased. Did I get that right?
You got it.
And I said to my wife, like, the reports came in, I said, and I won't be surprised to see him in church tomorrow either. Praise God for you too. Praise God for you too. And for being a part. And for all of those who had a part. I know the ladies' Bible study provided a whole bunch of things and the music. And for those of you who took the time to be here. As I mentioned last week, church is more than Sunday morning.
Amen.
That was the first pitch. Well, I want to get back to God's Word. I'm going to use two illustrations from my own life these last couple of weeks in the hospital and all that. I mean, somebody said, "Boy, it must really be hard on you, Will." I said, "How's that?" I said, "Well, you're in the hospital a week before last for 5 days, and this week you're in the hospital for 2 days. Well, we're getting better. How's that?" Huh? No, that wasn't it. But anyway. But we look at this passage. But first of all, we see the call, right? We see the call, or the warning, or the encouragement from the Scripture. I hope you have open your Bibles. You're going to need to follow along here. And the call, the reminder, is to not just to stand firm, but it's to resist. You see verse 13? Resist. Or stand strong, or stand tall, or stand up, or don't slouch. And the cause of all this? Why all this? Why all this? Why this pull? Well, the cause is there in verse 11. We read it 12 times. The schemes of the devil, the ultimate source of evil in our world from the very beginning, right?
Yes.
It's Satan. Did God say, Miss Eve? And it goes on today. And who's he writing to here? He's writing to believers. This is God's word to believers. This is God's word to you and me. Today. The cause. The call. Resist. Stand firm. The cause. The schemes of the devil. Now look at verse 12 with me for a second. We want to be in God's word today. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What does that say to us? Well, I think literally what he's saying, our struggle is not against people. But, that being said, our struggle is not ultimately against flesh and blood, people. But Satan uses people, both Christians and non-Christians, and some, sadly, in our churches, sitting not far from us, for his purposes, to accomplish his purposes in God's children. That's you and me. That's you and me. For what purpose? To discourage, to distract, sometimes almost to destroy us, sometimes with our tongue, sometimes just by ignoring and indifference and stories. I remember very little of what my dad said to me that I can quote directly. A man of God. Humble man. Quiet man. But I can remember this. He said, never criticize another Christian in front of a non-Christian. And I tried to be careful with that all my life. And certainly we need to be very careful in that regard. Even with brothers and sisters in Christ. I need to be reminded of that, and perhaps some here too need to be reminded of that very thing. Because what does it do? It makes the devil smile. It does. I've got a note somewhere down here. I think these last little while, with all the things going on in our world that are pretty new to us today, I think Satan has smiled more in these last couple of years than he has in centuries because of what goes on, not just in our world, but in the family of God. And it shouldn't be. And it's shameful. And woe that it may not be us, and it may not be me, or you, or our church. I mean, today, how many are divided over the current issues of the day? You know anybody? I do. I do. This last week, a dear, dear friend of mine who I've known for as long as I've been married and before sent me a note. And she said, "Oh, I'm just so torn." A dear Christian lady who would be a mentor to many of the gals here. she would. And she said, my family. She has a whole bunch of kids. Her and her husband brought them up right. They're grown now. Her kids. And now she's helping with her grandkids. And she says, I don't know what to do in my family. They all go to church. And my heart just poured out to her. Can you pray for me? Can you give me some ideas? What can I do? Because I'm just so torn myself. Well, she knows God's word as well as I do. She does. I don't think there was ever a morning when her kids left for school that they didn't have devotions. Dad was away early working other places. They would sit down and they would have a portion of scripture and they'd talk about it and they'd pray. But she needed encouragement. She needed a little counsel. I don't know how good I was at that, but she knows God's word. But the issues of our day affecting the otherwise wonderful fellowship that she enjoys with her full family, Christian family, has been divisions. And people being careful and some almost not talking to one another. And it's breaking her heart. What do I do in relation to some of these things that divide us? Well, I shared with her not just a verse here and a verse there. I referred to her some passages and some chapters to be reminded of God's goodness, God's will, and God's sovereignty. As far as, my sheep hear my voice, there'll be not one missing. There'll be not one missing. Not one. And so I gave to her again John 10, John 17, and she'll be reading them again. Romans 5, 6, 8. And then from our passage that we've been studying, turn with me back to Ephesians 1 and 2, will you? I'm going to read some of this because I think maybe some of us need to be reminded of some of these things as well. I do. I've read them. Again, Ephesians 1. Let's read a few verses here. In the early church, they got together and they read the scriptures, didn't they? What scriptures did they read? What scriptures did they have? For the most part, the Old Testament, didn't they? But we've got the whole thing. We've got the answer. All the things that so many of them were vague. There's coming a Messiah, but there's coming a Savior, but who? I mean, you know these things. Let's read some of these verses together. Beginning chapter 1, beginning with verse 3 through 7. Will you be reminded? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, that's a place to ponder for a while and whatever our situation may be, keep going. Just as he did what? What did he do? As he chose us in him. I put down me. When? Before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to the praise of his glory, so forth. Look at verse 13. In him, you, me, also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. I got a whole bunch more verses in chapter 2. We need to ponder, we need to consider what God has done and who we are in Jesus Christ. Look at how verse 2 starts out. Look at that. Chapter 2, excuse me. And you were pretty sick puppies. No. You were, I was, what? What's the word?
Dead.
Yeah. There's no degrees of dead. I think we all probably could agree with that. You were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us what?
Alive.
Together with Christ Jesus, by grace you have been saved. Isn't that a wonderful passage? Ephesians is one of my favorite books in chapter 1 and 2. Huh. None better. I mean, it's all great. It's all right. It's all good. I got other verses too. But it wasn't, this dear lady, it wasn't doubting her salvation. But the issues of the world, that Satan was infecting her family with, trying to divide, increasing fear and anxiety and division. You need to be assured that God is still on the throne. And we can trust him. And we can run to him. And God has given us others besides ourselves. We are not lone wolves in anything. We're not made that way. Okay, so we remember the cause, verse 11, schemes of the devil. Where does all this come from? Ultimately, schemes of the devil. The call, stand firm, look up. I always think of Jack Edge when I say that. Look up. I think that's a lot. I didn't see him for a few weeks for obvious reasons. I think the last word he said to me, look up. Look up. The cause, Satan's ways, his way, his thinking. The cure ultimately will not be until the Lord calls us home through death or his coming again. This is why Paul says stand firm, because this is an ongoing thing. The battle to continue, but God has provided that we might be victorious. And it's not a this week thing, it's this day thing. It's not a just this day thing, it's this hour thing. All of this. The strength to stand. God provides, resist, put on, make a part of our life, all that God has provided. You know, and we could tick them off, you could right here, but I think we need to often think a little deeper. His word. And what others have written. What do you spend your time reading? It'd be interesting to walk in your homes this morning. And what's on your, you know, the chair beside, you know, your favorite chair. You know, what it is that you pick up. It'd be interesting to see. God has provided just so much to help us in our lives. Through the years, men and women of God who have walked with the Lord, and God has given real wisdom and being able to write, and things have been recorded. Much more than you're ever going to get in this building, necessary for us and available to us. All of us. Mentioned that last Sunday. His word and prayer. Verse 18, chapter 6. Look at it. Prayer. All these things, we're talking about the armor. And then verse 18, as he kind of starts to wrap it up, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. And then be on the alert. And what? Pray for who? All the saints. We really don't pray much or very deeply for those we don't know, do we? I don't. You hear that a lot from me, because it's so important for us, every one of us. It is. Be a part. Again, looking at my notes, church, more than on Sunday, James writes what along this line? The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth how much?
Much.
Yeah. I want to just close with two illustrations. And this is all you're going to hear about this hospital thing and all that, okay? 5 days, 3 days, no days, okay? But I want to just close with two illustrations. One I left, last Sunday I ended with a story about the last guy I saw, the last week before last, leaving the hospital, and he was the head of the department, COVID department, and they were telling me, you're not contagious. And I asked him to repeat that twice. And then he said, get on with life. Interesting, he didn't say anything about, take it easy. He didn't say that. But I've been hearing a lot from that, from some of you. Thank you. Some things you don't have much choice, I want you to know. But that being said, remember I asked him? I said that this is a Seventh-day Adventist hospital, right? Yeah. I said, are you an Adventist? He said no. And he told me what he was. He was Orthodox. And I said, Jewish? No. Christian Orthodox. And I said, I'm not sure what that is. Make a longer story short, that I told you last week. He said, well, we just practice Easter at a different time than you. And I said, can I ask you a question? He said, well, yeah. I said, if you're to die and stand before God, he would ask you why I should let you to heaven. What might be your answer, doctor? And his answer was just two words, three words. I'll be all right. I said, what about the gospel? What about Jesus? What about the cross? He had no answer. But he'll be all right. That's the world in which we live as Christians. These are people, doctors, on one end, so to speak, of economic and so forth. And he got a two-minute presentation of the gospel there in my isolation room there at the hospital. And I thank God, I've been praying for him ever since. Now, that was 2 weeks ago, and Thursday I left the hospital again. And my daughter Maggie, who is loved to be here this morning, she was with me, and they called for the transport wheelchair people to come and get me. And a lady came. And in the wheelchair, down from the sixth floor, and all the rest. And so I chatted with her along the way, just light. And we got down to the main floor there, the ground floor, really, if you're familiar with the hospital, and headed for the front door. And I said, you a Christian lady? You a Christian woman? She said, oh, yes, I'm a Mormon. I said, how long have you been a Mormon? And this lady in her 60s, I would guess. And she said, since I was 15. And so she's pushing me along and talking. It's going real well. And I asked her, I said, you know, I'm just coming out of the hospital with all this garbage. And if I would ask you to pray for me, could you do that? She said, well, I would find one of our elders or our missionary to pray for you. I said, so you wouldn't be able to pray for me? She said, well, if I really had to, I think I could. Well, we go out to the front door and over by the turnaround there and waiting for my son and daughter, or husband, and good grief, my son and his wife and got that right. And their son to pick me up. And I won't go there. What a blessing that's been. And so we're talking some more. And I said to her, no, same question. Tell me, I asked you a question. Oh, yeah. If you're to die and stand before God. And this is what how she replied. Now, you know, I talked to the doctor, and talking to a wheelchair pusher, volunteer for several years, twice a week, 8 hours a day. For many years, she's been doing this. So I asked her the question, if you would die, stand before God, why? And she said, well, I've been good. I go to church. I help people. Listen to this. And I don't sin and do any of that stuff. And so I asked again, like I did the doctor. I said, what about Jesus and the cross? He said, well, I don't know much about that stuff. These are the people we know every day, we rub shoulders with every day. And where are they at? Ephesians 2:1. What's their condition?
Dead.
And so were you and I. But by the grace of God, someone shared the gospel with us.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God worked in us. And I'm guessing there were some who prayed for us, and some who prayed for us a very long time. But now you're alive in Christ Jesus. There's another one I'm praying for, this lady. And I got to end with this. Last week was 25 minutes, today I got 30. The biggest personal blessing of the week, personal. I think it was Wednesday afternoon, I'm in the hospital in my bed this week, this last week. And my daughter came back the second time from Tennessee, the nurse, to be with her dad. And she has a 15-year-old son, her and her husband. And I knew he was somewhere in Florida with his buddies. A couple invited him to come along and be with their son. And they went to the football game Saturday in Gainesville. And then they went to Disney. And I wasn't expecting to see him. So I'm sitting there, and who walks in? Eli. And I cried. And so he gives me this big man hug. And we sit down, and we talk about 10, 15 minutes, and there are people waiting for him outside. Anyway, a nurse comes in to take the vitals, and so he gives me another hug and says, well, you know, Grandpa, how are you? Or Papa, he called me Papa. And then he kind of stands up and he looks at the nurse, he says, how long will you be in here? He said, oh, just 5 or 10 minutes. I said, oh, I'll go out in the hall and wait. And so she leaves, he comes back in, and we talk a few more minutes, and the biggest blessing of the week for me. He said, Papa, before I leave, I want to pray for you. And he didn't, this is no little Sunday going to meet in prayer. I mean, he prayed for me. Like few pray. And then I prayed for him. And again, he just almost throws himself on top of me. He gives me this big man hug. I love you, Papa. You getting this prayer thing? You getting this prayer thing? Oh, that lady. This lady that pushed the chair after all that conversation. I said to her, and my daughter's there with me. I said, told her my name. I said, is there anything I can pray with you about? She thought a minute. She said, yeah. And my mom had been pretty sickly. And so we prayed, and it was more than, Lord, help her mama to get better. Oh, Lord, show yourself strong to this lady. Let her see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Draw her to yourself. Oh, Lord, just to look after her mom. Thank you for the work she does, looking after people here. Amen. So simple, really. How often, when we start out a conversation, you know, we think of four spiritual laws, we think of a lot of different, you know, ways to start conversations or questions to ask. And I have found just a few words of greeting and interest in people, you know, having to do with the situation that we're at, and just to simply say, you know, can I pray for you right now? Really? And then, what would you have me pray for? The Lord opens doors. And you're reminded how many do not know the Lord? How many do not know the Lord? I quote this line or two. I've been kind of short on music and songs these last 2 weeks. I'm sorry about that. But the one that starts out, people need the Lord, people need the Lord. And it ends, at the end of broken dreams. The original writers wrote it, people need the Lord, but I changed it. It's often at the end of broken dreams and hard places when people have shared the love of Christ that people find the Lord. And He wants to use you and me. I'm looking at every one of you because I know the Lord is. Well, there's so much more. So much more. Let's stand together, shall we? And let's sing, and then I'll close with a benediction from Ephesians chapter 6. Let's sing.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. The Lord bless you. Amen. Have a good week. Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to see you.